Praise the Lord, for He is good. He is so good, that He forgives us every time we do blunders. Isn't it? So many times we deny Him, so many times we reject Him, so many times we doubt Him, so many times we are angry with Him, we don't talk to Him, but still He loves us. He comes to us. And that is what this text proved to us. When it was evening on that day, the day of the week, first day of the week, and door of the house where the disciples had met were locked for the fear of Jews. We read that scripture. Yes. Easter Sunday morning we all rejoiced, but Friday it was different. Friday was a day, a gloomy day, where my Lord was taken on trial and He was put on the cross and He was beaten, He was spit on, He went through all that we should go through. But to save us, He took the cross for us. Isn't that wonderful? Let us pray. Thank You, Holy Spirit God, that You came down on earth. You were ready to die for us, to redeem us from our sins. And here we are, Your people, Lord. We rejoice in You, believing that You rose again from the cross. Yes, Holy Spirit God, we surrender all unto You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we are Easter people, right? We are happy people. Amen. Now this small band of group of Jesus followers, they were hiding probably in the upper room, because that was the only place they must have thought it is a safe place. So they were hiding, they were scared, they were terrified, thinking that emissaries from Sanhedrin will come and arrest them. They were too much frightened. Maybe every movement on the stair, they thought they are coming. Every knock at the door, they may thought they are there for us. They will arrest us. They have seen the crucifixion. They saw what a horrible death Jesus had gone through. So they were afraid, because everybody knew that they were the closest friend, closest disciples of Jesus Christ. So they were afraid and they were worried for their life. And Jesus had 12 disciples. One was gone, Judas Iscariot, and now 11 were there. And now out of 11, one was missing that night. It was Thomas who was missing. We call him Doubting Thomas. All the time he doubted, he never believed. It was not easy for Thomas to believe readily. So he always wanted to see things, to check things to his satisfaction. So that was the time Thomas was not there. And Jesus appeared. Jesus appeared and greeted in the Eastern greeting. What was that greeting? Peace be with you, he said. Yes, the peace be with you. And after he said that, he showed them his hands and his side. He showed them his hands that, see, I'm the one. I'm the one who has risen. You never believed, you never thought about it, but see, I wanted to give you the proof that I'm here. I didn't leave you orphans. I've come back so that whatever I told you was truth. I'm not disappointing you. So the moment these disciples saw, they all rejoiced. They were so happy that He's risen. Yes, true. He's there for them. He's so good that, you know, He wanted to come back and tell them. He didn't want them to believe that, oh, now He's gone. Now what will happen? The stories can get on, somebody can tell, oh, we have seen Jesus if He had appeared elsewhere. But He came to the place where they all got together and they were sitting there. But the Thomas was the one who was missing. He was not there. Like, you know, we also do that. When we are upset, when we have problems, and when we are angry with God, and we are doubting something, we don't come to church. We want to stay home. We want to be alone. Leave me alone, you know. Or sometimes, you know, we say, oh, we can stay at home and worship God. What is the problem? Many times, many, I heard some, so many people say that, oh, what difference does it make, especially those who don't go to church, those who don't do all the things that as Christians do, they always say, so what, Jesus is at home also, we can worship at home. I'm not talking to people who are online, I know why they are not here, that is okay, that is a different story. But I'm talking about those who are okay, but they don't want to come. They don't want to get up in the morning, they don't want to dress up and come and sit for an hour or so, and then they think, oh, I'd rather watch the TV, I'd rather watch the game, I would rather go and do shopping for my, because Sunday is the only day is free for me, so tomorrow is Monday and I have to go to work, so let me finish everything. Let me do laundry. You know, we think of all these things are important. But coming to church, Jesus is not going to spank us. Jesus is not going to question us. So we don't have to be there. That is what Thomas did. But Thomas' story's thinking was different. Probably he was so broken when he saw that Jesus was crucified. And, you know, he believed and he trusted him so much. You know, Thomas is the one who trusts. When he trusts, he trusts. Ultimately, he trusts. When he doesn't trust, he doesn't trust. He wants to check. Thomas is a courageous pessimist, and he was an honest skeptic. So Thomas, he could not accept the fact, the evidence the disciples gave them. They said, oh, Jesus, we saw Jesus. He did not accept it. He wanted to see and check. He not only wanted to see the wounds, but he wanted to check them, put his finger and check it. Sometimes we are also like that. We want to check everything before we believe. Because our intellect doesn't tell us this is okay. And because we think we are so intelligent, then we want to check on everything, especially with Jesus, especially with Bible, especially with the scripture and the word of God. We want proofs. We want everything, question answers. All the answers should be correct according to us. That's the way we are. So poor Thomas, he was so disturbed, he thought, let me be alone now. Jesus has disappointed me, I'm going to stay alone, I'm going to be with my own loneliness. So I'm not going to be with the disciples. They called him twin, he was known as twin. We don't know who the twin of his brother or sister, we have no clue of it. And we don't even know where he was at this time, when Jesus' first appearance was there, and he missed out on the first appearance of Jesus. Right? It was such a privileged moment. Those other 10 disciples enjoyed and saw Jesus and rejoiced. But Thomas was the one who missed it. So, friends, you know, when we don't come to church and when we have questions, when we think, oh, it's not so important, we are missing out on some great things in the church. That 1 hour in the, or 1.5 hour in the church is so precious. Jesus is going to tell us something. That appearance is, you know, it's a miraculous thing, what has happened that night. But don't think, you know, only when Jesus appears to somebody, it's a miraculous thing. Jesus appears to each one of us in a very small, quiet way, in everyday life. He must have appeared to you and me in a different way. When the healing comes in our body, he appears. When the little things are encouraged, he appears to us. His appearance is always with us. Whenever we come to church, we hear the word of God. One thing that we have read for years in the Bible, that one thing convinced our hearts. That one thing becomes the focus of our life, and our lives are changed. That is who Jesus is, and that is what Jesus does. Now let us see. He came, then he said, peace be with you. And after that, he showed his hands and they all rejoiced. As the Father, he said to them again, peace be with you. As Father has sent me, so I send you. When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. You know, he's always willing to give us the Holy Spirit. Jesus is always willing to give us the Holy Spirit. Are we ready to receive it? Are we the one to say, yes, Lord, we are ready. We need the Holy Spirit. We are receiving. We want to receive it. Many times he's talking to us in the church while we sit and listen to the sermons, when we listen to the hymns, when we listen to the prayers. Many times Jesus is present with us. But we are so busy telling him what we need, telling him what we doubt, telling him what we want, that we don't listen to his voice. That still small voice is always talking to us. And that night also, Jesus came, and Thomas missed out on that. He departed the Holy Spirit to his disciples because he knew that now this is my time has come up on the earth. Now I'm going back to my heavenly Father. Now I know my people. I know they are how they are. They are weak, you know. He saw Peter, whom he trusted so much. He said, "I'll build my church on you, Peter." And he was the one who denied him 3 times. He knew, Jesus knew that. And now see Thomas. Thomas is so broken that he doesn't have nothing to do with Jesus. He was not there in the fellowship of believers in the church. Early church that was forming. That was the charter of the church. When Jesus came and said, "The Holy Spirit I give you." He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. That was what he was missing. And Jesus, he is not going to leave Thomas anyway. So, when Jesus gave the Holy Spirit, it means that he was giving something that was given to him from his heavenly Father. Without the power of God in him, he wouldn't have been on the cross. He wouldn't have agreed to be on the cross. He wouldn't have been taking those slashes and insults and the way he was dragged, the way he had to carry his own cross to the Calvary. He wouldn't be able to do that. And that spirit he wanted to give to his people, to his disciples. And he was departing something of his own to them. And they received it. And Thomas missed out on that. Anyway, when he did that, you know, when he said that, you know, he was, John, as he writes this gospel, he was thinking of that old story of Genesis, you know, the man, how the God created the man out of dust and out of the ground, and he breathed in his nostril the breath of life. And that dust became a life, a soul, Adam. That is what he was thinking when he was writing this gospel. And not only that, he was thinking of Ezekiel, of the dry bone. You remember that dry bone story, right? When Ezekiel heard God saying to the dry bones, what did God say to the dry bones? He said, "From all the four winds, breathe the breath of life into these slain people." And everything came together. The bones, flesh, organs, everything came together. And Ezekiel saw that. He witnessed that. That is what he was thinking. And that was the hope, you know. God can do that. That was the power of the Holy Spirit. And God and Jesus knew that if I give this spirit to these people, they will do what I want them to, what I expect of them. That was building the church. That Jesus needed a church. Jesus wanted a church to be there after he leaves this earth. So when he leaves this earth, these disciples had become so powerful, so authoritative. He gave them that authority that they had become so powerful, they were unafraid. First of all, they were so afraid, they were hiding in the room and thinking, who will come and get us? Now they had become so powerful that they were not afraid. They didn't bother about their life. They never cared. And they thought, whatever it may happen, we are going to preach the word of God. What we heard, what we have seen, because they were together with Jesus all the time. They were with him. They ate with him. They moved with him. They heard him. They saw the miracles after miracles he performed. And now the moment has come that when they received the Holy Spirit, they had become so powerful. They knew that there is no fear in their life. They became fearless. And when we receive Jesus, we become powerful. We do not care of anything. We do not worry about anything. We do not entertain any doubts in our mind. That is the power of the gospel. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? God is good all the time. The week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, see, Jesus didn't leave them. Thomas was missing out. Jesus came back again looking for them. He could have said, okay, these people have abandoned me when I was suffering at the cross, when they were dragging me, when they were hurting me. None of them were with me. So why should I go with them? He didn't do that. The same thing he does with us. No matter what we do to Jesus, no matter how much we ignore him, even if we don't worship him, he cares for us. He comes back again and again, calling us, come back, my people. Come, I love you. That is the promise of God. And the promise of God is always true and 100% sure. So, what happened now? Then he said to Thomas, put your finger and see my hand. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Now he came back and he said, come on, Peter. And at that time, Thomas was there. After a week, Thomas joined the crowd and he was with them. And again, Jesus appeared and said, come on, Thomas. You wanted to check me? Come on, check. Put your fingers and see. I am the same person. I am risen. So what was his comment? He must have been so embarrassed when Jesus said that he doubted. So he said, what was his question? Thomas's reply was the express of faith in the Christian church. The prologue of the gospel begins with the assertion of the divinity of Logos. The word became flesh. And closes with the confession of Nathanael, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. That is what came out of the lips of Thomas. He said, my Lord and my God. How profound it is. How profound it is when he said that. This exclamation that people heard from his lips were the expression of the matured creed of the church. At that time, John was writing this, this was the major creed of the church. Jesus responded with the last beatitude of the gospel. Have you believed? Have you seen? That is why you believe, he said. That is what Paul meant when he called the church the body of Christ. So these afraid, fearful men got together and they became so powerful and they went out to preach the word, unafraid of any situations in their life. You know what happened? A lot of times when people say, people tells me, my old friends, you know, they say, we have been praying for years, we have not seen Jesus. We want to have that experience. We want to have that experience. Some you have seen, why can't we see? We have been praying for it. But you know, I never asked for it. Maybe I was like Thomas when I was an unbeliever, when I was a Muslim. And God knew that there should be an impact on this girl. That is why he appeared to me. I saw the vision of Jesus. He appeared to me. So these blessed eyes have seen him. But that doesn't mean that you have less experience in your life. You can see Jesus from your bottom of your heart. You can ask Jesus and he will reveal and talk to you, have a conversation with Jesus. He's a friendly God. He's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. No matter what we do, he forgives us. So please do not think that this experience is better than mine. All experiences are same with Jesus because he reveals in a different way to different people. Like I said, when you were going through a situation in your life, when you were abandoned by your husband, by your spouse, or by your children, or your children has gone astray and you are worried and something happens that brings them closer to each other. Something happens to your child that he started walking in the way of the Lord. I heard a testimony. One young couple came and they said, you know, my son is doing well. He was away from Jesus, but now he's falling. He's left his drug. He's slowly coming. That is what Jesus is. That is how we experience Jesus in our lives. That is a powerful thing. And don't underestimate that. When we are sick and the doctor prescribes something to us and when we take the medicine, we feel better. That is the experience. And sometimes we don't feel better also. That doesn't mean that Jesus is not with you. Jesus is always with you. And there are other things that are happening around us that are positive. Look at those things. We want to think the way we think, you know, and we don't want to look any other way. That's the way our minds work. But Jesus is doing things in our life continuously. Continuously he keeps doing things in our life. So, God is good all the time, and Jesus is good all the time. Jesus never leaves us, never forsakes us, till the ends of the world, he said. And that Jesus we doubt, and that Jesus we reject, and that Jesus we don't want to give 1 hour in a week. The church will be built on you and me. Jesus needed the church. That's why he gave the Holy Spirit to the disciples and it was passed it on to us. And we have the Holy Spirit and it is our responsibility to build the church. Not just attend the church and go out. Once we go out of the church, the duty begins. We are fed. When we come to church, we are fed. Spiritually, we are fed. And the moment we leave the church, we need to feed others. There are millions of people are waiting outside who do not know, who are hungry, who are thirsty for the Lord, who have not heard, who have not known the Lord. And we are the instrument because we have the Holy Spirit. So we have to depart to others. The way Jesus' disciples departed to us, we have to depart it to others. So other people will also receive and rejoice. So they too have that experience of unconditional love that Jesus wants to spread. Amen. My church is silent except one amen. 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 A loud amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is my church. We need to be enthusiastic about Jesus. We need to proclaim Jesus, not softly but loudly. Because Jesus never held back anything from us. He gave his life. He died on the cross. Still, after dying, he didn't leave us. He came back to tell us that I'm there. And I have built a mansion for you in my Father's house. And when I come again, I'm going to take you with me. You will not be left alone here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.